Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dialed In. This is a broadcast where we focus on communication, relationships, and personal growth with actionable steps that you can implement immediately to help you live your best life. Our guest today is part of the Big Life series. Now, if this is your first time listening, I'm talking with people who are living life in a big way. When I say big, what I mean is that they are living life using their gifts and talents to serve others and doing things that they love. Today's guest is Eric Reed. Eric is founder and creator of the Success Coaching System, and he is absolutely committed to your success. His mission is to help impact and inspire people to take their life and their business to the next level and to get more of what they want out of life. Eric truly believes that success in any area of life, be it business, financial, health, or relationships, starts with mastering your habits and controlling your mindset. Eric does daily Facebook Lives that are filled with all kinds of strategies for success, and I knew that we had to have him on the podcast. So write this down, facebook.com/Eric Reed, E-R-I-C-R-E-I-D. Welcome, Eric.
I'm going to do a quick correction while everybody's pens are still out. Drop okay. A G in the middle, so Eric G. Reed. If you don't, you get the Carolina Panthers football player.
And as
I like, you know, good football, I'd like to have a salary. You probably won't see me in the picture.
Thank you for that correction. All right. I'm going to fix that here, too. So when I type it in our information on the podcast description, I get it right.
Well, Eric, I get emails addressed to him all the time, and I'm just waiting for some big contract that I could sign for a Nike tennis shoe deal.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for being gracious about it. So I asked you to come on the podcast because I've just seen how you pour into the lives of people. And the thing that I love about what you do is you're so consistent that we know we can count on seeing you and having you show up in a real and authentic way. You really dive deep into things that we all struggle with, but probably don't always talk about. And I've seen you be so skilled at asking the right questions on your Facebook Lives that sometimes I have 2 or 3 pages of notes by the time I'm done listening to you, and it really makes me think. And because of you, there's areas in my life that have moved forward. So I wanted you to share a little bit of your story and ask you about what brought you to this place of what I would call living big and why you do what you do.
Wow. Well, first, thank you. I mean, I always love to get the positive feedback because, you know, when we do this thing, these podcasts or lives, we show up with the best of intention and wanting to be of service, and sometimes we're like, are we doing it right? So when I hear something like that, it helps. It just helps. And I love the idea of living big. I sort of, as I was hearing you, that thought, bold, intentional, and grateful. That, you know, to live a big life is to live it boldly, live it intentionally, and live it with gratitude. And so I think that's sort of what really keeps me going, is that idea that I have to be bold. There's no time left to be timid, to think that, you know, I'm not worthy. Maybe next time, maybe in a year, maybe 2 years after the kids are grown, once this is done, I'll have a chance. I got to be bold. I got to race after it. I got to take advantage of it because I wasted so much life just hiding and living other people's stories. And then that idea of intentionality of, it's not going to happen just because I want it to, or I put a vision board up on the wall, or, you know, I said some affirmations 6 weeks ago about how I want my life to be different, that my consistency is my intentionality, or my consistency creates my intentions. I'm not sure which came first. And then that gratitude, I'm like everybody else, man. When bad stuff happens, I give that look and I'm like, really, God? Like, really? come on. I'm doing all this good stuff. I'm doing all this stuff. I've got such a servant's heart. And then I've learned, wait a minute, I need to be grateful for the contrasts in my life. And so living big, I think, is just living.
Okay. Would you say, looking back at your life, so you mentioned that you wasted a lot of time. So tell me about, where was the shifting point? At what point in your life did you say, wait a minute here, I'm wasting time? Because you have to have an awareness of that to even recognize that you're doing it to change things. So talk about that.
Oh, gosh. I don't know if there was a single shift, but when I look back, I can see the contrast. And sometimes that's the way it works in our lives. We don't always have these epiphany, trumpet blaring moments, but the further we get away, the different the perspective. I worked my off trying to be the perfect son. I wanted to be like my mother. I love and respect, and she had such an image of how we should be, like little young Kennedys, because of that generation. My mother divorced and remarried. My stepfather was a very strong individual, very focused, very disciplined, very, very Lutheran mechanical engineer. And so my job was to grow up and be perfect. And I struggled. I struggled in school. I had academic issues. And so I was constantly being reinforced in my failure, failure, failure. You'll never amount to anything. You might as well give up now. Go to the factory, sweep floors. You're too stupid. You can't even spell your own name. You're such a disappointment. And so I internalized that, and I kept pushing to fix it. I kept pushing it. And so I remember going off to college, and I wanted to be in a teacher, psychology, sociology, social work, something in that service. And my mother said, you'll never make any money at that. That's such a waste and a ridiculous idea, blah, blah, blah. Go do this. And so I ended up getting a degree in biochemistry with an emphasis on geriatric research.
Really?
Further, yeah. I mean, talk about miles apart from what I wanted to do, what I ended up doing.
Wow.
Because my older sister, who was perfect, was a marine biologist. So let's all grow up and be doctors, lawyers, or Indian chiefs kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so after I pursuing that and then going into the field and hating it and crashing and burning and self-destruct, once again, I had to reinvent myself into the next perfect image. And I went through the cycle over and over and over again. And I started to realize that every time I crashed and burned, everybody that had an opinion disappeared. And the minute I started to have some level of independence and success, everybody that had an opinion showed up and tried to shut it down. I was like, wait a minute, why is it when poop is happening and I'm not like the golden child, nobody's around? But as long as I'm doing it the way they want, they show up. I'm tired of this game. I'm tired of being alone and frustrated and, you know, left out just because I don't fit their mind. If I'm going to be alone, I might as well be alone and be happy doing what I want. Mm-hmm. So I went back and got my master's degree in family counseling and grief counseling and in that area. And I began to really pursue my passions of being of service and spent 25 plus years working with children at risk and foster care and group homes and things like that, and just continued to evolve into who I am by doing what I really wanted to do in the beginning and not listening to people that told me it would never work.
So would you say you came to a point in your life where you really started living into who you were made to be instead of who everyone else wanted you to be?
I think it was almost the opposite. I stopped living into who everybody else wanted me to be.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, I started to discover more of me.
Okay.
And I learned to start liking that person. I was like, I would spend, and this isn't a sad story, but I would spend long stretches of time outside of relationships, outside of, like, I started to really love hanging out with me. just me, like just me, into a restaurant and reading a book and being alone. Because I had spent so much time being the false me, the unauthentic me, the perfect son me, perfect brother me, the perfect whatever me, that never spent time with me. And so when I started to move away from that false image, I really wanted to know who I was. And in doing so, I think my passions began to evolve or emerge for the first time.
So if someone is listening today and your story is resonating with them and they're like, oh my goodness, I've been doing this. I've been living a life based on what everyone else is telling me to, or what everyone else's opinions are, or just trying to be okay for everyone else. What would you tell them are some things they can do immediately to help know who they are really, to help them understand their own gifts and talents and to move forward living a life true to who they are?
I would say first, at the end of this journey, when the clock ticks and the heartbeat stops, you're going to be alone. It's going to be you and your maker, your divine, or whatever you think the next step is. And so you might as well show up as you, the real authentic you. And the only way you're going to get there is to start now. And I think that was for me a point where it's like, you know what, at the end of this, at some point, my parent, like, at the end of this, it's just going to be me by myself. So I might as well start being comfortable with that now while I'm alive. And so that piece, and then just learning who you are. Like, look at the books that you bought but you never read. Is there a common theme? Because something in you said, this, to me, a book is like a special friend for... Like, it's to me, when I buy a book, it's like meeting a new person. And so if there are books piled up in a corner that I haven't read, I wanted to engage with them. I just never found the time. Go back to those days when you were in high school, when you still had maybe a little more independence. And it's like, what clubs, what organizations, what things were I attracted to? Ask 10 of your friends, what do you think about me? And it's so funny because people will say, oh my gosh, you are such a whatever. And I'm like, really? I don't see that. And they're like, oh my gosh, yes, you are so funny, or you are so creative, or you're such an inspiration, or you're always the person that has wisdom. And I'm like, I don't see that in me. So always ask people, what do you see in me? Like, who do you think I am? And be willing to listen to it unfiltered. And don't try and shift everything at once. If it's just carving out an hour a weekend to be with you and you alone and spend that time journaling or reading a book or doing activity or taking a walk and talking to yourself, that's okay, because all good relationships start slowly. And you're building a relationship with your authentic you. So lay the groundwork. Start slowly. Do the homework. Get intentional about it.
What a great analogy about relationships that you have with other people and relationships, the relationship with yourself. I've never thought about it that way. And I think that the key is really starting slow, starting small, doing what fits into your life. Because if you try to change everything at once, well, you're going to fall on your face. You can't.
And we've all seen that with like a girlfriend who like, oh, I met this so-and-so. And like, you're like, whoa, you guys are moving way too fast. Like everybody around is screaming, slow down, put the brakes on. And then about 3 weekends, 6 months later, it's like blown up and it's like, yeah, like you didn't see that coming, because we all did. It's the same when we begin to transform our lives, when we begin to connect with a new us, when we start to dig out our passions. Sometimes jump in because of an event or a podcast or a book, and we think, okay, I'm all in, I'm 100%, I'm charging forward. And we disrupt everything so much that our natural instinct for survival says, nope, we got to go back to where we were. This was too much too soon. blowing it up, shutting it down, crashing and burning so that we can get back to a safe, neutral space.
Because really it's about the journey and, and enjoying that along the way. It's not when I become this person or when I really live into everything about who I am, then my life will be great. It's about, you know, what you learned about yourself today and how you know yourself deeper because of the 15 minutes you spent journaling or whatever. It's those small daily steps that really move you forward.
And I think it's somewhat naive to think that when I become this person, this future image, this locked and loaded and finished thing, based on who we are today, we're designing the house without even knowing what the landscape is. And it's like, no, we've got to walk towards that person and evolve into it. We can't just say, I'm going to arrive at this point on June 5th, 2022, and then my life will begin. It's like, so what is the time in between about? Like, are you going into a coma? Because otherwise life will happen. Things are going to occur. It's going to change who you are and your perspective and your goals and your needs and your ambition. Why not just focus, as I say, life is about living intentionally and fully engaged. Why not focus on the next minute and then move that same intensity of focus to the next and the next so that when you arrive at June 20th, 2022, you're suddenly like, oh, wow, what a journey. What an experience. Let's move to the next moment.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. All kinds of good stuff here. So I have a page of notes already just from listening to your story. There's so much gold here. So, you know, as I hear snippets of how you were raised, of how you internalized it, I see the unfolding through what you've chosen to do with your skill set and your gifts, because you mentioned working with kids and actually high risk kids are at risk of not believing in themselves in a big way because of their home life, right? And so it's very interesting how and at least in my experience, when I work with people that are really trying to dive into their passions, that it often comes from our greatest pain, and you experience some significant pain when you were growing up, even though you didn't dive into it here. And because of that, you don't want anybody else to experience that, and you want to help them walk that path. Am I correct, or are you saying, would you say that that would be a clear depiction?
I think it's fair. I think we all experience pain, and one person's pain isn't greater or worse than the other because it is our own pain. And part of what I started to see when I began to work with kids at risk was that it was more often poor parenting, and that's not to blame the parents, because they didn't have the tools necessary to guide a child, and so those kids became at risk at some points, and sometimes it was circumstance. And so being able to be in the middle and guide parents to the perspective of, this is what your kid is seeing and feeling. This is how we as a team of adults can guide and shape that to become somebody else so that they don't have to continue this legacy of pain that was started somewhere in the family.
Wow. So bold, intentional, and grateful. I love those words when you're thinking about living a big life. As we kind of start to wrap up a little bit here, Eric, is there anything else top of mind that you would share with people about how to live their best life, how to have a level of success that feeds their soul?
I think on one level, it really, so I've come to this understanding through many coaches, like it has become my life to understand the idea of success, because I was programmed to get to success, you know, to finish the degree, to have the house, to have the kids, to have the dog, to have the income. I would be successful in my father's eyes. And I could never get there because it was always changing. I was always raising the bar, so to speak. And so to understand this idea that success is about how I am in that moment of life, and if I'm giving my best and growing into my best, then I'm successful. And then what is the formula behind doing that? Like, I can't just say it. There's got to be, because I'm a practical person, there's got to be like a principle that I can adopt. And what I started to look at were people that were either successful or those people that weren't holding on to success. And I was like, okay, what is it? And I realized that some people were really good at the mindset thing. Like, oh, I'm a mindset person, I'm focused on it. Or really good at the habit thing. But the belief thing was always the missing trigger. They could program their brain to think one way. They could get their schedule down right. They'd start to move towards success. They'd start to begin to acquire some level of success, and then it would blow up because they didn't believe they were worthy of it. They didn't internalize in their very knowingness. They didn't embody whatever their vision of their life could be. They didn't fully embody it into who they were designed and divinely created to be. They kept saying, it was almost like they were swimming upstream against themselves. And so when you look at creating a life, a big life, a bold life, an intentional life, a life filled with gratitude, you got to work on all threes. You got to do the mindset. You got to do the habits, but you also got to dig in there and begin to believe your worthiness to have that big, bold life.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Without that belief, you will self-sabotage and you'll never get to where you want to go. So,
and we see it all the time. I mean, we'll look at sports celebrities who have it all, and then the next day they're in jail for something like ridiculously stupid. Like, you had enough money to pay somebody to do that. Why in the heck would you drive home from a bar drunk when you could have bought like 10 drivers that night? You didn't believe you were worthy of everything that was happening, and so you had to figure a way of bringing yourself back to the lowest point in your life where you were most comfortable.
Yeah. You know, as I think about what you were saying about the idea of success and how the bar was constantly raised, and, you know, you mentioned like the career, or maybe it's having a house or driving a certain car and all those things. And you also mentioned a degree in geriatric research, and I spent years working with the geriatric population, working with seniors, and I, at one point, I was very depressed, and not clinically depressed, but I just felt very sad going into my job, because I would sit with people on their deathbeds, and they would consistently tell me about how they didn't live big, basically, how they did all the things to have all the stuff or get all the items that made them look successful to please everybody else, but that wasn't what it was about. In fact, I never heard anybody talk about their car or the house or the degree. I've never sat with someone on their deathbed and had them tell me about their degree, ever. And I've never had anybody tell me about the money in their bank account either, because it's very interesting to me how society teaches us, at least here in the U.S., that you do all these things and you get all these things and then you'll be happy and successful, when really that's not the case at all. I mean, you just painted a picture for us of how you got the degree and you had the fancy jobs and you were doing all the things, but you weren't living true to who you are. And so you were miserable and you weren't living your best life. And I think it's never about the stuff. It's never about the outward appearance, even though we can spend all of our time chasing all of that. And, you know, if there was one thing that I would scream from the mountaintops, it would be that. Like, your worth doesn't come from your stuff. Your success doesn't come from your stuff.
And I agree, and that's what I mean. At the end of the day, when the final clock ticks, it's just you. It's not you and your car, you and your house, you and your bank account, you and your 20 awards on the shelf standing before holding account for your life. It is the person that you are. And so instead of spending so much energy trying to acquire things that won't show up, I sort of said, I'm going to acquire things that I can always carry with me regardless. And that's my, you know, the integrity and the belief systems and the consent. Like, who I am is so much more than the things that I have. Whereas in the previous path, who was defined by the things that I had. And I would go into one room and some people would applaud and go, oh, you've got so much. And I'd go into another room and they're like, you have so little. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, now what do I got to go get? Now what do I got to go achieve? Mm-hmm. Now what do I got to add to my resume to please you people? Because I thought I had everybody happy, but now I'm in this new group of people and now I got to start all over again. I'm so exhausted and worn out trying to make sure everybody has everything and I'm ending up with nothing. I give up.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of Paul Martinelli. I heard him talking once about how we tend to put high emphasis on goal digging or being a go-getter, and really the most significant thing you can do in your life is be a go-becomer. It's all about mm-hmm. the becoming, and boy, there's so much truth in that, and it's hard. And I think that's why a lot of people don't do it. I mean, I spent years playing it safe and not doing it. So, wow, there's so much here, Eric. I so appreciate your time. As we come to a close here, I wrote down 4 points, 4 takeaways, even though I could have written down like 104, but I narrowed it down to 4. And I'll list those here for those of you that are note takers or like to have everything wrapped up nice and tidy. Here's 4 takeaways, 4 things that you can even take and apply to help move you forward towards your big life. Number one, know who you are. Start small. Take steps to spend time alone and understand your gifts, talents, and passions. Number 2, understand that just because you have a vision board or said some nice affirmations that things aren't going to magically happen. You have to take action and be consistent. Number 3, when you take action, you will encounter criticism. Take action anyway. Mm-hmm. And number 4, strengthen the belief in you. Know that you are worthy because of who you are, because you're here, because God, universe, whatever you refer to, doesn't make mistakes, doesn't make junk. You're here and you're worthy. So Eric, oh my goodness, thank you again for being here today. And don't forget to check out Eric at ericreed.com. And you can also find him on Facebook, Eric G. Reed. And I'll post that information on the podcast description. And as always, I'm here to help you use your gifts and talents so you can live your best life. I am cheering you on. I believe in you. Until next time, take action, live big, and stay dialed in.